Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News.
You are listening to the News for the Soul radio. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. Here we go. Heart Healer with Andrea Riedemeyer. That's what it's time for right now. Let's welcome her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Andrea, welcome back.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm excited. I have a colleague all the way from New Zealand today. I'm hoping she's online. Were we able to connect with her? So what we're going to do, yeah, we're going to check on that because this is my new, she's going to come through Skype. So this is going to be around, my colleague is Angela Wilcock, Angela M. Wilcock. And
let's just check and see if we've got Angela on the line. Angela, are you there? Okay.
And
so we're still waiting for her to get on the line.
Okay, so I'll just double check on my on message that she's on. So today we're going to do, I have a few moments because we're going to do some grounding and heart connection as I do on every show. This is the Heart Healer Show, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, Nicole. And every week I have a different topic because heart healing is not simple, it's complex. And today we're going to do the Advancing Heart Protocol, Releasing Trauma with Love. And this is Angela's expertise, and I'm so grateful that I have this connection with people around the world who do this work. So I'm going to open this circle, and I hope she does come on because otherwise I'll shift it today, but I'm sure Angela will be on today. I'm going to open the circle. So everyone, just be present. The sun is a circle. The moon is a circle. The earth is a circle. The drum is a circle. We are in a circle within a circle, and our hearts are in the center. And as we get going, waiting for Angela, we're going to do a little connection because my show is about you connecting to your heart. So one way of doing this is really getting grounded and connecting to source energy or God, whatever you wish to call it, and connecting with our heart. So if you're driving, please just listen. And if you're in a relaxed, quiet space, you can put your 2 feet on the ground. Shoes or no shoes, that's okay. If you're lying down, again, that's just perfect. I want you to just feel your feet on the ground. Feel your feet on the ground. Now, I want you to feel your spine. Visualize it, your spine and the back supporting you. And at the base of your spine, at your tailbone, is a beautiful red crystal. This is your root chakra. And at the root chakra, we are going to now open a portal. And I want you to visualize this portal going down, down to the center of the earth, all the way down to Mother Gaia, to the center core. And at the center core, each and every one of you online, live and on the replay, and everyone everywhere has a crystal. You all have a crystal at the center of Mother Earth, and you're going to attach. All, there you go, all solidly attached to your crystal. Mother Gaia, now I'd like you to repeat after me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. Thank you. I'm going to do it two more times. To Mother Gaia, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. Thank you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. Thank you. And we ask permission to release everything that is not serving us at this time. And there's so much going on in this world, so many emotions bottled up, traumas, processing, news, information, anything not serving you, just release it. Release it to Mother Gaia, to Mother Earth, Pachamama. No issue. She receives it with love and transforms it to a different type of energy that will serve her and the Earth. Now, as you all know, Mother Earth is grounding, earthing, solid. She is eternal love. She is your other mother. We all have a second mother, and Mother Earth is it. And she loves us unconditionally. She also holds the seeds of all our creations until they are ready. So that deep, deep love and nurturing grounding is going to go into your crystal, that energy. And now we're going to shoot it back up through your portal, all the way up to your tailbone, all the way up to your sacral chakra, just below your belly button, to your solar plexus chakra, just above your belly button. Hold it there. And now we're going to weave that beautiful Mother Earth energy into your heart. Beautiful tapestry of energy. Next, at the top of your head is a crown, a beautiful crown, crystal crown. And this is your crown chakra, literally, that's what it's called. And just visualize this bright, beautiful, luminescent crown chakra. And it's going to open a portal that's going to shoot straight up, all the way through the solar system to your space within the solar system. So each one of you is going to take a different path to that space. Just keep going and trust you are on the right path because you are. And you're going to see a beautiful, shining, bright, beautiful star. And this is your star seed. And there's a crystal within you're going to attach. Each one of you has a crystal, and now you're attached. This is your ancestors. This is where they reside. Those who have transitioned are here waiting for you. They're always around you, but they're also in this space. Your guides, your spirits, your origins. God space, source space, father energy. So this is a masculine energy. And within this space is your intuition, your knowing, your wisdom. And some on this call know what that means. Just trust the whispers of your soul because this is often where it comes from. And so we're going to bring that energy and also immense love, beautiful, radiating love into your crystal, your intuition, your knowing, and we're going to shoot that down. All the way through your space. Just visualize that. And now we're going to merge it with your crown chakra. Hold it there. We're going to bring that energy, Father Sky, Father Source energy, down into your third eye, eyebrows, the middle, your intuitive space, your pineal gland. And now we're going to merge it gently as it flows down into your throat chakra so you can speak your truth and be true to who you are. You are supported. You are loved. And now it's going to weave into the heart chakra with Mother Gaia energy. Beautiful tapestry of energy that flows all the way around your body in a clockwise formation. So is Angela online? Nicole?
Yes, Andrea, I'm here.
Yay! Okay, perfect, Angela. Okay, so Angela, I'm just going to introduce myself, and then we're gonna flow into this beautiful space. I'm so excited about your next book. So I'm just going to introduce myself. So I am, and people are new to this show, I'm a transformational coach. I'm trained as an executive coach in leadership. I have my master's in leadership. I always call myself a sociologist because I am always at heart. I'm also a quantum healer, and that's a certified quantum healer. I met Angela, another beautiful soul, from my soul tribe in Costa Rica last year. And I'm also founder of the Wisdom of the Great Lakes retreats, which are happening in August at Lake Superior. We're going to be 15. So if you'd like to go to that, it's called Unleash Your Wisdom. contact me. I'm a Reiki master. I also, to me, it's also a very important certified emotional intelligence coach, and that's really important right now. It's how to manage our emotions in this time of VUCA, volatile, uncertain, chaotic, ambiguous times. I'm the mother of two beautiful souls, and I'm very grateful as I watch them unveil into their own. And I'm also wife to my husband, Dr. Graham Elder, for over 28 years. I am. I am all of it. I am. So I'd like to also just state that I'm on, I live in Sault Ste. Marie, which is Northern Ontario, Canada. And I live on the Robinson-Huron Treaty Territory, and the land on which our community is located is the traditional territory of Anishinaabe, and I always honor this wisdom and this space that I live in. Thank you very much. For that, I honor you. I'm going to go straight into introducing Angela. Angela is, as I said, we met in Costa Rica, but she's done a lot of work over many, many decades. She's a hypnotherapist. She calls herself, she's a student of Joe Dispenza, but I'll have her elaborate on that. Her first, one of the books I read, loved it. We're not going to be talking about that book today. There's a lot of work on Joe Dispenza in it. Her work really goes into deep on that. And she does a lot of work around trauma. And I'm excited around this because it aligns with our show. This is Heart Healer. And I'd like to bring in Angela. And could you tell me, Angela, can you introduce yourself in your way to our audience? Welcome, welcome,
hey, good morning.
By the way, it's 6 o'clock in the morning for Angela.
No, it's actually 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my Lord. You are an angel. Oh,
it's normal for me. It's normal for me to be up at 4 a.m. in the morning. That's quite normal, as you're talking about in your beautiful meditation. You know, the pineal gland is activated, so it's connecting to the inner wisdom. So it's absolutely beautiful to be up at this time. So who am I? Wow. Well, I am. But I call myself a trauma relief specialist because I've dedicated my career to what I call the journey home, because we're not broken. Mm-hmm. We don't need healing, fixing. We really is. It's just remembering who we are. So like you, I've got many qualifications, many degrees, and but I really don't go by those labels. I really look at how I walk alongside someone to help them on their journey home to release themselves from trauma. And I've studied with the most amazing professionals that I call in the world around releasing trauma. So like Bessel van der Kolk and Dr. Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, Richard Swartz, Lynn McTaggart. I did my hypnotherapy and rapid transformational therapy training with Marissa Peer. There's quite a number of people that I've trained with because I've really dedicated my 30-year career to understanding the heart and the mind, because the heart is our most powerful organ in the body to release trauma. That's really just a little bit about my professional background. I'm a mum of three incredibly independent, beautiful children who do their own thing and are all on their own journey, which I love to watch. And more importantly, I'm also a grandmother of nine beautiful grandchildren, both in New Zealand and in England. So that's a little bit about me.
Oh, I love it. I thank you. I just hearing people's journey. Yeah, I am. And the path that I walk beside my client as they journey back to remembering, you know, to learn, to unlearn, to remember. And, you know, I feel like I have my guests on because I feel like that parent, like it doesn't really matter how much I say it. They hear it again from other points of view. it might sink in, even if it's one person, because this is really, I think at this time, I'll use the VUCA word. It's often used in leadership and business, the volatile, uncertain, ambiguous, chaotic times. This is our work. Your work is so important right now. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for getting up at this beautiful twilight time, this magical time at 4 o'clock a.m. To talk about your book. Now, you had another book, which I loved. And I'll talk about that at the end of this show. And we're also going to do a little, Nicole has a name for it, but some advertising for you, but shameless advertising, I think she calls it. So I love that word. Because I'd love people to connect with you, whether they're in New Zealand, you might have some colleagues who are going to listen to the replay. We'll post this on the Facebook so people can contact Angela around her work. So let's talk about this book. It's like, I know you're going to create a program probably around it too. The Advancing Heart Protocol, Releasing Trauma with Love. Where did it come from?
Yes.
What's your inspiration around this one?
Well, for me, I've been working, like I said, with trauma, with people in various different ways for over 30 years and done lots and lots of study and understanding of the human mind and how we build our story. And I live my life through a lens of curiosity. I think, you know, life is an experiment. And if we're curious, we have an open mind and an open heart. And so everything that I've learnt, I've integrated into my heart. And I was really gifted this protocol. Over a period of months, I was just given and downloaded different pieces of information, and it was like, okay, what do I do with this? And then one day I realized what I needed to do with it. And it was really put it together in a protocol, and it takes 10 to 15 minutes to work with someone on an emotion that they want to release. And it's highly effective. I've had 100% success rate so far. And it's something that I'm really, really passionate about, because human beings, they've always fascinated me. Like, we're made up of many, many systems within the human body, and we know that we're spiritual beings, but we're also here having a human experience. And so I started my career as a computer programmer. And so really all I've done is just shifted from understanding, you know, how the computer operates and different programs that run with it to make it function optimally, to moving into basically reprogramming and releasing people. And when I talk to my clients about the protocol, I explain it in that way. And it's like, you know, we can sometimes see life experiences as a virus within our system. And so the protocol really is just an antivirus piece of software. So what I'd love to do, Andrea, is really just to go through the process of the different ages and stages, so that people get an understanding of how we take on our story and what we pick up along the way on the journey. And then really it gives some context around the Advancing Heart Protocol and how we can release it and why it's so simple, because that's the question people always ask me after they've experienced it. They go, how come it's so simple? Usually I'd be in therapy for years. And so I just thought there'd be this opportunity do that, if that's okay with you.
Oh, I'm so grateful. I just have chills of gratitude running through me. Yes, definitely, Angela. And it's all yours. This is the space. And may it go across the lines, and may the right person hear it at the right time.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, as we all know, we all come onto this earth absolutely perfect. Like, you know, knowing that whatever we want, we can actually have. Because when we're born, like, we just cry and all our demands are met, and we're generally loved. I mean, I know some people will say not all children are born into that, but the majority of us are. We're very fortunate. We're really loved and cherished, and we're adored. And every human being, adult human, sort of coos over us for the first 6 to 12 months of our life. And then as we start to walk and talk, things start to change. And this is when we sort of start to take on the different stories in our life. And what we know is that the mind is incredibly clever because it has a purpose, and its sole purpose is to keep us safe, and it's to keep us safe and protect us from emotional trauma. And so the average person, 95% of the day, has a thought going on, which means that 95% of the behavior during the day is programmed and managed, because we wouldn't be able to consume and process all of those thoughts. And so we know that our life is not controlled by the conscious mind, because in our conscious mind is all our wishes and desires, all those beautiful things that we want for ourselves. But it's actually controlled by the subconscious mind, which has been programmed by observing other people. And they basically, we look at those and their lives become our lives because we're connecting to the expression of their behaviors. And so when we look at the mind, because it really fascinates me, and we will get on to the heart because it's important to understand the mind first, but when we look at the mind, the programming of the subconscious starts in the last trimester of pregnancy. And some people even say that it's, you know, it's already started being programmed in terms of trauma during conception. So there's different views, but we do know that it actually takes on the programming during pregnancy. And so it's really, really intense. We have a really intense experience in the first 7 years of our life. And what we also know is that there's a scientific fact around that our bodies and mind change every 7 years. And so as a human being, we're in a constant state of change, which is fun for some and not for others. I love change, so I engage in that process. That's why I live my life with curiosity. But during that time, we develop our personality and our traits and our thoughts and belief systems. And so all our values start to change through that seven-year cycle. And so I'm just going to take you through those 7 years. And we'll start off with 0 to 7 and go right the way through to our most mature years, because I think it will really get people to help to understand and see how our stories formed and how the trauma is taken on board. And then when we use the protocol to release it, how simple and easy it is to release it. So during the first 7 years of life, we're driven by our instincts because it's around survival. So we've got the instinct of, you know, hunger and the necessity for love and protection and support. But we also get that feeling of pain as well and the impact that that has on our environment around us. And all this is going on in our outer world. So our inner world and mental structures are then being developed. And they allow us to feel and to think and to be aware of our identity, of who we are as individuals. So our identity is already being formed between the ages of 0 and 7. So birth and 7. And so this is all going on in our outside world. And this is really the most crucial time of any human's life, because this is a time where we learn a lot about behavioral responses unconsciously. We're looking at, you know, we're observing cultural norms and family values. And our learning as babies really does depend on how we respond. Whether we respond with an open heart and just see the world as it is, or as we take it on as a fear base. And that really makes a difference. There's lots of research around resilience, and I always think it's resilience is about, do we take it on with an open heart, or are we constantly living in fear? And so from the moment of birth, we are really dependent on the people that look after us, our caregivers, around our physical and emotional and social needs. So if our caregivers leave us, as an example, then we may see that as a threat. We may experience the feelings of anger, jealousy, abandonment, or pain, or we may not. And this is where we start to take on our story. A lot of my clients say that they've had, you know, I've had this wonderful childhood, but I don't know why I feel this way. And, you know, everything in my life has been great, but I just can't move on. And when we do the protocol, what comes up for them can be something simple as a child, you know, a simple thing like getting lost in the supermarket with their mum, and that formed that sense of abandonment. So there was no abuse or anything like that that went on, but that child took on that story of abandonment. So already they're starting to form their identity. And so if we fail to mature when we have these experiences beyond that age, as adults, we experience this at a greater level. So you can see how important those first 7 years are. And then when we move into the next 7 year cycle, which is up to 7 and 14, I call this the formative phase, because we're moving into that phase of ideas and concepts and associations which had begun in the early years. We're now discovering those. And so we start to develop that sense of right and wrong and social responsibility. And I look at my beautiful little granddaughter. She's 7. She's just in that phase now. And she's very much a beautiful little caregiver, wanting to nurture and to be the protector of her brother. And she's really getting to see the sense of what's right and what's wrong and what's socially acceptable and what's not. And so we see that playing out in either our own children or grandchildren. But also in that stage, we start to create our own inner heroes. And whether there's heroes, whether there's villains, we start to have our dreams and aspirations. We have this vivid imagination. And again, I go back to my beautiful granddaughter, because she's got these dreams and desires for herself that she wants to be a top ballerina. And if we keep encouraging that, she will be, because she just loves it. She's amazing at it. And so I just see this playing out for her. So then what happens is that our associations with our outer world start to increase. And so we learn to share and to interact with other people. And when we start to have the ability to control our earlier instincts, so rather than being in survival mode and be completely dependent on our caregivers, we can actually feel some harmony when we start to connect with other groups of people. So we form little groups of friendships. And then our habits then kick in and they start to create our character. So again, there's a lot going on in those years. And then when we move into the next cycle, which is 14 to 21, this is a really interesting cycle. This is where we hear a lot today, really, in society about, you know, our young people, they don't have any respect. And well, they do, but they're going through some really difficult times. And when you see what's going on in the world right now, you can actually understand this, because that 14 to 21 year cycle, this is a period of time that's illustrated by really strong emotional and physiological changes, because we've got the onset of puberty, and so we've got all the hormones all over the place. And this is a time where we start to become really self-conscious. You can probably remember yourself growing up as a teenager and, you know, looking in the mirror, comparing yourselves to other people. I do. I remember thinking, oh, my friends are so much slimmer than me and they always look better than me, or their hair's better than mine, or whatever. So we do become really self-conscious in this phase. And then we start to appreciate things like art and music and literature. And then mortality starts to take on meaning. We start looking at the opposite sex and start to choose a partner that can meet our needs. But we also have a difficult time figuring out where our boundaries lie. But we're also in that space of independence, and it becomes key. We might move out of home. Like I really connect to this. I was 16 when I moved out of home. And so we're leaving the childhood, but what we're doing is the scars that we've encountered in our childhood is starting to shape our adult world. And so this is a stage where most of us gain our dignity and start to mature. Now remember, I say this is a stage where most of us start to gain our dignity and start to mature. And then we move into the next seven-year phase, which is 21 to 28, and this is the stage of refinement. And so this is the child of us, and it finally enters into the stage of adulthood, both mentally and emotionally. We start to create the foundations of our career and our relationships. And this is where we believe that having great relationships or a great career earns us the respect in the outer world. So remember, all this is going on both internally and externally. We're really taking in all the information from our outer world. And so our earlier experiences in life have really started to divine or define and shape our abilities to become more developed as a human being. And it's generally in this time in relationships that we learn to choose our partners based on the human beings that they are. So we operate more from a place of intuition and judgment and understanding. And we also get to understand what insight is. So we have a little bit more maturity here and start handling our relationship issues in a positive way and face the challenges that there may be in our professional life. But the thing is, if your personal problems aren't dealt with now, you really will be facing them in later life. That's why I love working with young people and teenagers when they come around trauma or experiences, and it's usually a broken relationship because they take on that I'm not enough or that fear of rejection for the future. And so when they're coming to me, it's like I know that they're releasing that story and they're going to start flourishing in their later years. And then we move into the phase of the 28 to 35 years, and this is a phase where we become really creative. The creative juices start to flow, and the emotions become more subtle, and so we're not so reactive. And we start to really understand ourselves and become more curious about life. And if you really look through life as a lens of curiosity, it's really so much easier to deal with life. And so we start to realize who we are and how we've been shaped by our family and our friends and society. So this is a time when we start to ask those questions. And then we move into the 35 to 42 years. And this is a phase where most people start to feel really restless about their life, depending on their personality type and life experiences, of course. This is a time in this phase when I made the decision that I was going to live in New Zealand. I remember coming here and it just felt like coming home. And that's always part of my journey. It's all about returning home. And that's exactly what it felt like. And I was very restless. And so I made that beautiful decision to move to this glorious country, because that's the phase in which we start to really evaluate life, including relationships and friendships and our careers and what we want. And we start to really see how we might be different from those people around us who are not in this phase. So we really start to look at ourselves. But for those who haven't reached their maturity in this phase, then they're really going to take through some of the trauma and their belief systems into the next phase, which is the age of 42 to 49. And this could be really disruptive, because this is really where major change takes place. We become very reflective. We start to delve into our inner world. And I'm not saying that this the seven-year cycle is so linear that it's like this for everyone, because we know it isn't. But I'm just talking generally in terms of human beings. I know that I started to delve into my inner world in terms of spirituality, and I was age 8, but I closed that down, and it took me, probably till back early 20s to really delve back into that. But if people haven't done that before, this is a natural progression, depending on what, you know, it doesn't really matter what your beliefs are, whether you're religious, spiritual, non-spiritual, it really doesn't matter, because this is the phase of human existence, and this is really where you do start to delve into your inner world. And we tend to make major changes in our career or relationships, and we really start to have a sense of, have we made it yet? You know, who are we in life? Have we made it? And if we haven't, then this is a phase where we try to make it. Now everyone's got their own interpretation of what it means to make it in life. And so emotional love starts to become unconditional love. So we're not so dependent on people. We don't necessarily still have the need to feel loved. We can love someone or move into that phase of loving them unconditionally if we've been introspective. Otherwise, a lot of people still tend to retain that emotional age of the wounded child that hasn't matured, that's got stuck. And so this is the age where we start discarding stereotypes and then really, really believing in ourselves. And then we move into the beautiful phase of 49 to 56, and this is the age of spiritual awakening. And so this is a beautiful, beautiful phase to be in, because this is when we really do start to look inwards. We accept the changes in our bodies. We love who we are. And we realize that maybe there's a purpose to life, and we start looking for that. And if we haven't, this is a time when we do. And again, many people already doing this way, way before this age. But there's some people that don't. So this is their natural phase of human growth and development, that they would move into that space. And then we move into the age of 56 to 63. So this is my phase. This is the phase that I'm in right now. And this is the age of accepting inner peace and really embracing tranquility in life. And I really started doing that probably over the last 2 or 3 years, really accepting inner peace, really feeling that my life was tranquil and harmonious, and whatever came along, it really didn't matter, because I could just deal with it and it felt part of the process. And so there's a great shift here in adjusting to our aging bodies, if we believe that our bodies age. And I know that we don't all believe that, but I'm talking in general terms. And so we start really adjusting our relationships that we have with people, and we're really changing the perceptions of the world around us. And it's a really beautiful phase to be in if you haven't already started doing that in the earlier years of your life. And then we move into those more mature years, between the ages of 63 and 70. During this period, we really do have a deeper understanding of ourselves. So we really do have a decrease in the need from the external world. We really do go inward. We tend to see the best of everything, because we have that awareness of death. And we just really do start to detach ourselves from our story during this time. And then we could move into 70 to 77. And we know that we can mature at any time. We can come across some young people who we see really, really mature, and meet some beautiful, beautiful teenagers who I know have been here many, many times before. And I think, wow, you're bringing all that wisdom and maturity with you. But if we're just going along the linear line of the general human being, which I know there is no such thing, but anyway, we can really mature at this time. So this is a period where we can connect with the innermost self. This is where unconditional love increases, and we really start to accept ourselves. Now, most people would say, I don't want to wait until I'm 70 to 77 to start really accepting who I am, because I certainly don't want to do that either. And then we moved from 77 to 84 and all those years beyond. And by this time, a new self has already developed. Now, a new self is developing all the time. But this is really where we get to absolutely most people accept who we are. We come out of the experiences that we've already lived. We've moved away from our story. And our perceptions have widened. And we just start to live life in a different way. And so it's really, you can see how your life is really just a printout of your subconscious programming. And so we don't need to keep going back in our lives to find out what we did or who created how we feel about ourselves. Because when we understand that, we can go, okay, I can see how that happened throughout my lifetime, but now I'm ready to release it. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at our programming, you know, all we have to do is just look at our life right now and we go, oh, okay, so this is my program because I'm playing it right now.
Angela, we have, I want to really get a big thank you. There's so much that resonates with me on that. Your story is very similar. I'm a little younger than you, but I've followed this path.
Yeah.
When like, even the age 8 is when I remember praying, how can I serve? And there's, I've written like 4 pages of notes here. So many nuggets. I know people, again, also I agree with you, who are young, a lot in their 20s, who are doing amazing things and are these wise old souls. And I also know people later in their years who are saying, I haven't made it, I haven't made it. I'm not there. So I'm curious, how does the protocol, can you give me an example through these 7, it goes in 7 stage increments, and I also know there's a brain development or the way a body works throughout this prefrontal cortex, all those pieces. How can you give me an example of how you use the Advancing Heart Protocol in one of these stages, or with a pseudo example of who's not really a client, if there is a confidentiality issue, what that would look like?
So what happens is with the protocol, what we're doing is that we're connecting with the wisdom of the heart. And the energy is a unified field. And so what we're doing is we're connecting the heart with the mind, because the heart really is the place of all knowing. And so we can release all the stories that are going on in the mind, because that's our created truth, but it's not our real truth. Because what we know about the heart is like it's the most powerful source of electromagnetic energy in the body. It's massive. The heart's electrical field is 60 times greater than any electrical activity that goes on in the brain. Because we always used to think that it was the brain that gave the information to the heart. But actually what we know through numerous studies, especially through like heart math research, is that actually it's the heart that communicates with the brain. So the protocol is actually connecting the wisdom of the heart, bringing in the energy of the unified field, and then connecting that with the mind. And what we're doing during the protocol is that we're releasing all those emotional patterns and those loops and memories and thoughts, and all those beliefs that we've taken on, any attitudes that we may have had, any assumptions, all those triggers that are there that are holding you back from expanding. So as you said, like even though we go through those different 7-year cycles, we can really override them and get rid of a lot of the emotional charge that's connected to the story as we take them on every 7 years. And it's really simple. It's highly effective. And like I said, what we're doing is releasing the emotional charge that goes along with that. Because if we experience trauma throughout our life, that has a huge emotional charge to it. You know, for example, one of my clients was living with some autoimmune diseases, and she had this great fear of going outside. And the reason that she feared going outside is she thought that she was going to be really unwell and she might have to call an ambulance, so she wouldn't go outside the door. And we did a release. She had two sessions and she goes outside the door now, and now she's got herself a full-time job. And so because it was the emotion that was stopping her going out, the emotional charge, like all the anxiety would come up, the body would react to the emotion that was going on, because remember that our body reacts to the emotion that's going on. And so it's really, really simple.
So with that client, emotional charge, would that be around the age of 14 to 21 that you would sort of go through the story and release from the heart space there?
So we don't go into the age. The reason that I gave you the information about the age and the reason that I talked about that on this and I've written about it in the book is that people, a lot of the questions, so when I started using the protocol, I had so many questions from my clients asking, how does it work so quickly? Like, I've had all these years of all this going on and I don't know where my story came from and now it's just gone. And so that was why when I put the book together, it was like, okay, I need to help people understand this, because even by understanding it, we can release ourselves, because the mind loves to understand things. And so we're actually, it doesn't really matter what age and stage you're at in life. We can actually release whatever it is that needs to be released.
So you've merged really a lot. I mean, this is a big space, and I've been told I'm going to do it. I think I'm doing it right now by having you on the show, is merging the spiritual with the scientific.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because it is what we're doing. We're actually connecting with the unified field. When I do this release, it's actually connecting with the unified field. We're connecting with spirit. So that's what, quantum healing and neuroscience calls it, the unified field. We're actually, so the heart, the the electromagnetic not working at 4 a.m. So the electromagnetic field around the heart is called like the Taurus field. And so this is what science knows. But in terms of spiritual beings, we've always known this. We see it, we feel it, we experience it on a daily basis. So what I love about bringing science and spirituality together is that people really get that understanding, because the mind loves to understand. But when I'm doing this work, the protocol, we really are connecting with spirit. That's exactly what we're doing. And we're releasing, like you did with your grounding and meditation, we're releasing with love and compassion. We don't put anything, we don't put the trauma back out into the field. We release it with love and compassion first, because we don't want to give that, because that's what will return.
It's interesting, just you going through these seven, I got to tell you, I was doing a fast for 2 days of food and internet, and I'll be honest, the internet was harder than the food. And I read, I don't know why I haven't read it before, and I think just the timing, it's where I am in my life. I read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And so I'm at that stage in my life, right? And, what's my meaning? What's all this? But as you went through these different stages, I was like, I actually, no joke, you didn't, just you being present and your voice, by the way, Angela, also is very healing, your frequency, is I actually saw patterns and I went, well, that's gone now. Because I'm also programmed to heal in a certain way quickly. But I was like, the 22 to 28. Got it. Done for me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for people to, and I'm also a quantum healer, and I did a quantum flow before this, and I did a whole bunch of work. So talking to you today, I'm grateful, because personally I did healing, honestly, for myself, and I know that's not exactly how your protocol works, but just your voice does it.
Oh,
I can feel it. Yeah, and I mean, you're highly trained, but we operate at a higher frequency vibration, and you do talk about that. I'm curious, you talk about vibration in this book too. yeah. frequencies. Okay, so in your other yeah. book, also, I use that sort of as a great tool. Very well explained how it works, how our words impact others, how our words impact ourselves. Yeah. So we yeah. have 5 minutes left. I would love you to just tell our listeners how they can contact you, how they can get the book, any other resources you have, your website, retreats, anything that's going on.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, you can contact me easily via email. My email address is ange@angewilcock.com. And my website, I have two websites. So I have one that's called www.traumareleasecenter.com. And then I have another website, angewilcock.com. And that's the easiest way to contact me. The Advancing Heart Protocol is really simple. It's a 30-minute session, and you can just get in touch with me and book a session if you choose to do that. I've also combined the Advancing Heart Protocol with what I call, I use, so one of my businesses is called Effort Therapy. I won't say the word, but and it's all plastered across my car. And my first book is called that, you know, give a flying F about your thoughts because they matter, and that's all about frequency and vibration. But I've combined the protocol with a program, and which I use with my clients, and it's all about the journey. It's all about, so it's called Life Journey Design. And so we go through every aspect of your life. We go through all those phases and we release everything. And so that's something that I do, have been doing one-on-one with clients, but that's a program that's going to be out there in the next 2 months. And in the next 6 months, I'm in the process of doing it now, is I'm going to be training people to use the protocol. So I'm gathering all the data right now, making sure that all the evidence is there. So, yeah, there's lots
of... Well, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, count me in on that. That's very exciting. And, of course, you do it online. You have access to doing this with clients online. Okay. So just for those in the States and Canada, do you know that Angela lives in New Zealand, so there's a time difference. Do you have a scheduler on your, can they schedule or just email you? Is there a scheduler
my IT person is doing, is setting up everything, so everything's automated for me. So, but currently, if you just click me an email and I'll send you through the link to schedule your appointment so you can choose your appointment. And I work internationally and I love it. I do everything over Zoom or Skype, and it's highly effective, so it really makes no difference because we're connecting energetically, so it really is irrelevant of where we are in the world.
Thank you. I'll probably have you on again. There's so much, as I had Corey Carpenter on for two shows because there's so much, and interesting, his last call was we've got 1 minute, his last call was ongoing. He's got three books around the seven stages. Like he's going through his life. Yeah, very, very interesting. So I'm going to close the circle, but the circle is open and it's never broken. And I'd like to also thank all the guides and angels and everyone else who's been online here today, listening to this. Connect to your heart. There's so much power and healing in the heart. Again, right on time. Angela, thank you, whether you go back to bed or greet the day as it is.
I greet the day.
Thank you. Can they get your book online, Amazon, just by the way?
Yes, I'll flick you the link if you like, and then you can.
Okay.
You can get it. It's not up on Amazon yet, but it will be, yep.
Okay, so just type your name in Amazon, whatever country you're in, and they'll get your book.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Blessings, sister. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
So grateful.
Thank you.
And we're at the top of the hour. Thank you.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.